you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
This week, we talked about COINTELPRO.
A nice little uplifting, peppy topic.
I would say, at least for me, I don't often go into an episode thinking from the beginning this is going to be two parts. A lot of times it grows into two parts while I'm working on it.
Yeah.
And this is definitely a case where that happened. A lot of times when something grows into two parts, I still have both parts ready to go on the same schedule, because the thing that really takes the longest is the research part. Comparatively, the writing part is shorter. So like writing the second episode a lot of times is like still doable. This was not the case in this one. I was like, this is going to be two parts, and I also need more time with it because it is just a tangled mess. And like a lot of it requires, like, there's a lot of stuff that we had talked about previously on the show before. Like we have a two-parter on the Palmer raids. We have a two-parter from previous hosts about the McCarthy era. We have a lot of background on a lot of the civil rights people and organizations that were targeted. But there's other stuff that we had never really talked about before that all required explaining. And then stuff like having a whole COINTELPRO targeting the new left when nobody could define what the new left meant.
I know. I'm just like picturing the mentality. I know they make me feel weird and uncomfortable.
I want to shout out to my friend Amy, who was kind of my sounding board for like how to explain specifically why communism was so threatening. Because like, man, it was just the response was so disproportionate to the actual amount of threat involved with communism. The response, all of it, the entirety of all of the COINTELPROs are like a totally different response than like what was actually warranted, whether it was grouping every organization that was fighting for equal rights for Black Americans into the category of Black nationalist hate groups, or really only being concerned about the Ku Klux Klan, murdering people and not about all their other stuff.
Right.
It's just so much, so much. One of the things that was particularly frustrating to me as I was finishing this up, because I worked on this leading up to the 4th of July and wrapped it up after coming back from like a 4th of July long weekend where I don't know about everybody else, where we stayed at home and did nothing.
Same.
We have this whole national origin story that turns people who took up arms against what they saw as an oppressive government and destroyed property and waged a literal war. Like, we frame that as heroic in the mainstream discourse.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not quite as much within the last 6 weeks or so, but like in general. And when you have the same kind of language being used by Black people saying we are oppressed and we would like to not be oppressed anymore, like then that we become the, we being like the white majority become the bad guys. We become Britain in the story of American Revolution.
Yeah.
And it just, it deeply annoyed and frustrated me.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I mean, I've been kind of waxing rhapsodic. I don't know if that's quite the right phrase. I've been thinking a lot about all of these issues, as I'm sure almost everyone has. But there were two things that have been on my mind that this particular episode really brought, like touched on, that I had already been thinking about. One was, it's going to sound slightly random, the discussion of the weird attempt at I don't know, subterfuge, confusion, etc., of bringing the burnt cross remains to a KKK meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Or having them delivered. Because I remember, I grew up in a military family, so we moved when I was 9 from where we were living outside of Seattle to the panhandle of Florida. And not long after we had moved there, 3 lots down from our house, there was a huge cross burning. And like, it was one of those things where in this episode where you talked about how like they then took it outside and burned it. And there was this idea of we will shame them by making the, or, you know, scare them by making them aware that people know where they meet. And I was like, none of those people in my neighborhood were the least bit concerned about anyone knowing where they were or who they were. So it kind of struck me as interesting. And the other thing that I keep thinking about, because I am trying to grasp many of the behaviors that I see that don't make sense to me, is that old saying that actors always say when people ask them why they're so good at playing villains, and it's because villains don't perceive themselves as the villains. They always think that they are the hero. And I keep trying to apply that, like, not in any way to excuse or both sides-ism anything, but try to figure out really like what is driving some of the behaviors. And I kept thinking about that throughout this entire discussion of like, did any of these people ever stop and question that were involved in these COINTELPRO initiatives? Like, hey, we've gone a bit too far here. Or are they all like, this is being done for the correct reason. We are all supporting and keeping safe what is important to us in this country. Like, I really always have to question, did anybody go, I don't know about this one.
So I feel pretty confident that like J. Edgar Hoover thought he was in the right with all of this. Mm-hmm. And of course he died before any of these hearings happened. A thing that I found as I was researching, and then when I tried to go back to find it and confirm it to put it in the episode, was that when the COINTELPRO Black nationalist hate groups pivoted to focus just on the Black Panthers, that there was an agent who was like, they're giving breakfast to kids. Like, what?
Right.
Why? And then, you know, the memo that came back just doubling down on what a violent threat the Black Panthers were. So I feel confident there were individual people within this whole system who were like, what? This does not make a lot of sense, or we should not be doing this. But like, as an organization, the Bureau definitely felt like it was the force that was protecting the American people from all of these nefarious influences, when the nefarious influences were like literally civil rights groups and women's rights groups and people saying, hey, maybe we should not be involved in this war in Vietnam. Like, there were, as we tried to make clear in the episode, like, there definitely were individuals and groups who did have, either violence as part of their rhetoric or had been directly involved in violence or whatever. But a lot of people were really just like, the way this country is working is not right, and we need to do something about it. And the Bureau was like, that's a threat. We're going to bug your house
right.
and send fake letters to your wife to try to get her to divorce you.
Yeah, I don't. That's where I have a really hard time wrapping my head around it. It's like, we will destroy you for questioning.
Yeah.
And wanting better for everyone. That is really terrifying to me.
Yeah. We also didn't talk as much about it in the episode. Like, we did talk about laws that variously pulled back on the idea of communism being criminal. And like court cases, especially under the Warren court, that were like, no, people have the right to to talk about revolution being necessary as like an abstract term. Like, that the idea that that a lot of the things that were illegal are still illegal, like, at least in terms of the law, in a lot of cases, it's like, no, that's protected under the First Amendment now. That doesn't mean that that's enforced consistently across groups,
right,
depending on what people are calling for. When you and I started recording these episodes today, I mentioned they're being long, and you were like, this could have been a three-parter, and there was a couple of things. One was that I had gotten to the point where I was like, I feel like I have gone where I can go with this. And the other is that, like, if it could be a three-parter, it could be like a 12-parter.
Right.
It could be an entire brand new podcast that's just about COINTELPRO that's going to run for 3 years. Because it's a lot. There's just a lot. There's a bunch of, like, Freedom of Information Act stuff that's on the, like, in the FBI vault part of their website that has, you know, the documents, a lot of them are redacted, but it's pages and pages and pages of stuff that you can read for yourself. The church report, all the stuff we read of it was from the things that were specifically about the FBI, but like, that was a multiple volume, gigantic report.
Right.
There's just a ton of stuff. This is also a case where if you are part of a community that was targeted by one of these COINTELPROs, you probably already knew a lot about this. And if you were not targeted, and don't know a lot of, like, FBI history or counterintelligence history, this might have been all new information to you.
Right. There's part of me that wants to ask my father his thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up in a very conservative, like I said, military household. And I was born in the midst of all of this. I was born in 1971. So really, as, like, stuff was hitting the fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also afraid of that conversation.
Sure. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a whole huge tangle. Also, I really enjoyed watching the documentary 1971, which is available on various streaming services. And it was one of those things where I had stopped working, in quotation marks, like I had stopped working for the day. And I was like, I really want to watch this documentary, and I feel like it's going to be something that I can watch at 8 p.m. and not feel like I have just worked until bedtime,
right?
Which is something I try not to do. I try to, like, have some time that is just my time. And I turned it on, and Patrick was in the room with me, and I don't think he had started out planning to watch it. He got totally engrossed, and the next day was like, that was so fascinating. I have not read the book that was also about that same story, but that documentary I really liked. And a point that probably could have been made during the episode that we didn't make is that the activists who were involved in that break-in were white, and that gave them, like, some added cover,
mm-hmm,
in terms of, like, going into this apartment building on that night to do the break-in. So anyway, it's COINTELPRO. It's a bunch of thoughts I had about COINTELPRO. It commandeered my brain more than probably any other episode I have ever worked on. I would wake up at the 2 o'clock in the morning thinking about FBI counterintelligence operations.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, we live in the what's casually called the information age, where there is often discussion of whether or not people are being surveilled at all times or sometimes, and whether or not that's being done by government agencies or private companies, et cetera, et cetera, which is always a whole tangle that is difficult. You know,
oh, right.
It's difficult for anyone to feel confident in their position on it because there is always a lot of stuff that we are not privy to. I will, as a way to potentially end this in an up place, just note that I like to include a lot of absurdity in my day-to-day life just in case some poor schmo is having to listen to and sort through the things that I say. Like, I don't know, it was like a 12-minute monologue about kitties and Greedo. I don't know. It was weird. Is that a code? I don't know.
Well, that seems like a good place to wrap. If folks would like to send us an email, we're at historypodcast@iheartradio.com. Have a good weekend, folks. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.